It's all connected.
Grimnir and Cirque.
Yes, it is. It's all connected. And this is the It's All Connected show with myself, Grimnir, and the lovely Circolo.
And we reached 2021.
Yes, it's January 4, 2021, now Monday day. So.
And the biggest difference is that from now on in the next 2 weeks, I will be constantly writing the date wrong.
On your whatever, yes?
Whatever, yeah.
Yep.
Work-related stuff, whatever. Every time I'm going to write the date for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to get it wrong.
And I won't be writing the date, so it doesn't matter to me. Anyway, this is episode 24 of It's All Connected, and this program is entitled Deceive, Inveigle, Obfuscate. Now, some of you out there may recall those three words placed together during a particular episode of The X-Files from way back. Deceive, inveigle, and obfuscate. But we're using it in a different way today. my X-Files fanatics. The X-Files was a very important program. I don't know if you watched.
I liked The X-Files.
It pumped out a lot of truth, a lot of real information, all buried within the some of the fantastical ideas that they had with the show. But there was a lot of truth pumped out via that show. Chris Carter was a freaking genius. I guess he still is. He's still going. he's the creator of the X-Files. So today we're going to talk about some other things, though, which all involve those three words, although never actually mentioning them, because they don't want to let you know they are deceiving you, inveigling you, and obfuscating you.
I don't even think I can say the middle word.
Inveigle.
It's a weird word.
Yeah, you know,
it sounds like a bad guy in a Japanese video game, right?
I had never actually heard the word prior to that episode when Agent Scully used it, and I had to look it up. Yeah. What the hell is that word? and let me go ahead and explain to you what these three words mean. In case anybody's unfamiliar with those words, deceive is to cause to believe what is not true, mislead. Inveigle means to win over by coaxing, flattery, or artful talk. Have that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And obfuscate is to make so confused or opaque as to be difficult to perceive or understand.
Yes.
That's what's going on out there. That's what's happening to you by them. Them. They.
In Denmark, we just saw a beautiful example of that middle word. It's been New Year's, right?
Right.
And I don't know about where you live, but here, New Year's speeches is a big thing. And we have a queen who does a New Year's speech. We have a prime minister who does her New Year's speech. And pretty much everybody else who does their New Year's speeches, right? But the prime minister's New Year's speech this year was pretty much a long salute to the Danish people for saving other people's lives.
Oh, you lovely mask wearers.
For being heroes in the everyday. Yes. And that, I would assume, is a beautiful display about how you can use that, you know, inveigle.
Inveigle. See, you got it. You understand. You know, you got it.
Yeah. To flatter a whole population. Right?
Yep. In order to get them to do what you want.
Yes.
Yes.
Boost the morals, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, welcome to all the folks out there listening in the various places you may be listening from. If you're listening live, anyway, here on realibertymedia.com or over there on rlmradio.xyz or the tune-in station or wherever else we may be being broadcast at that either we are aware of or not aware of.
Welcome
to all the folks here in the chat that are tuned in. I don't know how many of these people are actually tuned in. Most of them are like lost in their own little worlds most of the time.
Ain't that nice, though?
Yeah, it is. Anyway, so we'll kick it off with the first topic that you statement, whatever that you provided me this morning in the wire chat, and I have a question about your statement.
Oh, good, because usually I ask questions.
Yeah, usually you do.
Yeah. And then you have answers.
Indeed. Sometimes. Anyway, your first one was, nothing in the commercial world is what it seems.
Yes.
So my question is, what is the commercial world?
Everything that is trying to sell you something or put a price on a value or something and make it a commodity.
Okay, well, that would mean pretty much everything, right?
I mean, pretty much.
I mean, outside
of the commercial world, yeah.
You know, even within your own family, your other people in your family are trying to sell you something, and just not as with an exchange of cash, but they're trying to convince you to do A, B, or C. You know.
You haven't met my family then.
I have not met your family.
No. No. No,
but
yeah, I assume that there are a lot of people who let commercial forces enter their private spheres or their family spheres or their personal connections.
Right.
That's what this shit does. It oozes in.
It always oozes. Yeah.
Yeah, it oozes in, and nothing in that. As soon as somebody wants to sell you something, right, or attach a value and make you or something a commodity, they're going to tell you lies. They're going to deceive, or at least they're going to hide or obfuscate something from you, right?
Of course, yes.
The commercial world is going to use one of those three, what will you call those forces? Methods, what do you call deceiving, inveigling, and obfuscating?
Yeah, those are methods
yeah.
to get you to bend to their will.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether they're obfuscating, covering up, making something look a certain way, deceit, deception, of course, deceiving.
So why do I use the word commercial world and not like mainstream, right? Because we're used to thinking in mainstream and alternative, right? And if you're really broad, then you think in indie too, right? You got your mainstream, your alternative, and your indie, right?
Your indie?
Yeah, the independent ones, right?
Okay.
Well, because the alternative all got bought up, right? So now you have the independent ones, the indies. Who wasn't bought up, right? But they're still, you know, they're still trying to sell you something.
Right, they are. They're trying to sell you on their point of view, whatever that may be.
Either that or clicks or commercials or something.
Right, they're trying to get you to believe whatever it is that they're saying.
Was it that said that if something is free, you're probably the product?
A lot of people. I don't know who said it originally, but free is often the most expensive that there is.
So just, you know, when you go on the World Wide Web for ones, right, which is the commercial part of the internet, right?
Yeah.
Just remember that you're in the commercial part of a media of something.
In the commercial part of a what now?
Well, Well, I'm sure there are commercial parts of other sites of the internet than just the World Wide Web, right?
Oh, sure.
But I think it's fair to remember that when you're on the internet, no matter what you are there looking for, what you're getting out of it, chances are somebody's trying to sell you something.
Yeah, pretty much everywhere you go, that is true. That's the case. You be driving down the road and you got billboards up and down the road. They're trying to sell you something as you're driving. Or you got your car radio on and they're all trying to sell you something there on the radio.
And nothing in that world is what it seems, you know? It's
No,
not,
no. It's a
it's never what it is presented as.
Right, almost that, that I would say that would be the case at least 90% of the time, if not more. Every now and then you run across an honest person saying honest things that they may have something to sell you, but they do it in an honest manner. But that's the rarity. That's not the commonality.
And usually those people aren't cycled through links and retweets and retweets and links and more relinking and relinking through all sorts of social media.
Right.
Honest people are usually not being cycled through social media. So social media is what the biggest commercial brand advertisement platform there is. It took commercialized to a completely new level, right?
Oh, absolutely. And with the way it's all been set up now, I mean, they know everywhere you've been looking at or what you've been looking at on the interwebs, and they'll try and sell you something that they believe through their spying on you, fits your desires or needs.
Like in the old days, not in the old days. I'm not that old. I don't say shit like that. But
Yeah, you're a youngster.
before the whole social media thing, right? You
Right.
had the odd here and there Alex Jones who would twist a little truth into something and try to sell it to you, or you had the TV evangelists, right? Who would
Yeah.
do the same, right?
Sure.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be everybody or every message you get from anybody, right? That's tainted through some commercial shit.
Right.
But with the whole social media, right? Now you take that tainted commercial message and you start cycling through people that you trust because it's from people you like.
Exactly. So
And all of a sudden, it's no longer this. Somebody's trying to sell you bullshit. It becomes like small recommendations, right?
yeah, and then the some of the people that they've heard whatever message that they were deceived into believing, and through that message they will take that information that they think is true because they heard it there and they were inveigled, so that they felt good about it, and it was like their way, their right to now take that and share it with you and push it upon you. And a lot of times, if you don't follow whatever your friends or relatives, neighbors, whoever, have heard and came to believe, and now that you are their friend all this time, and now suddenly you're a bad person because you're not going along with what they've been sold, mentally.
Because I would say like Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Twitter to me is more a transaction, it's more of a currency transactions platform than it's anything else. Do you know the term called clout?
Clout, sure.
Yeah, not like the clouds in the sky, but clout.
Yeah, right. Like the
Your
people,
social reach, right?
if you have like a million followers, you've got a lot of clout, and if
Yeah, so
you're
that's like a currency, right? In the commercial world of social media, you have this clout currency.
Right, right. Your social score.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, you can make real money from that. It spins off real gold, right?
It does, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it does.
And, you know, those people, once you get up, you know, to however many followers, you're considered a social influencer, I guess.
Yeah.
Or whatever they call them. And people will offer them, you know, real cash dollars, as far as that, as real as that is, to you know, pump their point of view to their followers.
Yeah.
And
they'll
convince them it's a good thing to do.
And Twitter is, and this is kind of interesting, you probably know this though, but I didn't until a couple of weeks ago. Twitter actually calculates the number of retweets into a clout number. So they actually made, like, the currency exchange there.
Okay. I was not aware of that, but, I mean, I guess it makes sense that they would. They are basically an advertising platform. More than anything, even though I always block people that are advertising on my timeline.
But they're all, though. That's the thing, right? The ones that you like to follow are still advertising. They're still selling you or me a product, right?
Well, they're selling you a point of view.
A truth or a...
Or whatever, you know, the stuff, stuff they found interesting and they think you would find interesting. You know, a lot of them are that way, but I probably have a different... You're not even on Twitter, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, but if you were on...
I open the Twitter links when people link them, and I have fun reading all the comments.
Yeah, if you were on Twitter, I would imagine the group of people following you or you follow would be far different than the group of people that I follow.
Probably.
I have mostly, you know, ANCAPs, anarcho-capitalists, that I follow. That's my primaries. And then I have some...
But that's because that's what you want to give your social currency to, right? Because you're donating with your social currency, right?
Right. Well, I of course, that's a thing like I want to hear my views echoed back at me by other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you are somehow, you know, because cloud... I really see it as a currency, though, right?
Yeah,
that
sure.
Just like everything else in the commercial world, it, whatever you can put a value on, you can make into a commodity and you can start trading it.
Right.
And so they did that with social reach, right? They made that into a commodity that they can now price tag through the cloud, and then they can sell it.
Yeah, so they can, of course, there's not a lot of products that they can sell to an ANCAP, but...
No, maybe not brand products, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They're selling you something else, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
So. They're selling you a worldview or something, right?
Or something like that, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think commercial world is pretty much going to frame it better than the mainstream and the alternative. Because I'm just going to say, I don't trust the alternative or really the indie media any more than I do the mainstream.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned Alex Jones earlier.
He's mainstream though, right?
Well, he's definitely a deceiver. Anyway, but if you go to his website... It's like 90.
He even got Google and Twitter and those people to play along in his show.
It's like 90% ads on his site. He's always always trying to sell you some kind of crap. And you know the same goes for almost all the websites out there. I mean, even Real Liberty Media, I've put some links up there, although I don't think any of them are actually giving me any money or ever have given me
you
any
have
money.
AdSense up there? I would, if I...
No, I don't use AdSense. No AdSense.
No.
But I use, you know, other banners with people that I've signed up as, you know, to, quote, partner with, although... yeah, but, you know, things like Amazon. which is a huge evil corporation, Amazon, right? But the thing is, they always have what I need at a better price with better delivery times than other people. So, yeah, they're huge. Yeah. They're huge and evil, but they provide me a hell of a service. But I have other things up there. You know, I got like Grass City for people looking for like bongs and pipes and stuff like that. And I got a thing for VOIP for telephone. That stuff that I use is what I have up there mostly. That I personally use is what I put up. I'm not trying to trick anybody into buying something that I wouldn't buy.
But does it really make sense to use the word evil about corporations, though, right?
Well, it all depends on your point of view, doesn't it? I mean, if
they're an entity, like they're an object. Right?
If you're running a small local business, there's no way you can compete with Amazon.
No.
Because I mean, such they could do it in such quantities, and they could ship it to the people free and have it there within a day. So. But
again, their whole business model is a symptom of a deeper illness, though, called planned obsolescence.
In a way, you know, it's like when Walmart started moving into towns and just wiped out all the local businesses couldn't compete with that with Walmart because of the volume they do, and so they can get the prices the best and.
That's only because you need to buy a TV every 4 years, though.
Well, I don't know.
If you needed to buy a TV, you know, once or twice your life, and it was upgradable or something, right?
Right.
Then Walmart wouldn't have their business model.
Yeah, well, if they couldn't do the volume, then right, they wouldn't have their business model, but they can. And you know, if
they got a demand.
You know, if I'm looking to, you know, of course I'd love to support my local businesses, my local small businesses, but if I've got to do it at a 20% price hike, then maybe I'm not going to.
I don't get that. It doesn't matter, though, because you're still going to buy a TV from Samsung, right?
Right.
And inherently, the way Samsung is producing TVs is a million times more destructive than what Walmart is doing to small stores.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
If everybody...
If They're mining, you know, materials like shit from Africa...
Yeah, they're doing all that, but I mean, we're talking about your local community, whatever that may be.
I understand that, but you're still going to buy a TV from Samsung there, and Samsung is destroying the whole planet we're living on.
Right.
Just, you know, not single-handedly Samsung, right? But the life cycle, the destructiveness of the life cycle of a TV is insane.
Yes.
And they're producing them so that you have to buy a new one all the time.
Okay.
And the destruction of the TV. And TVs is just an example of this, right?
Right. Yeah,
this is the part. And we can take it to point two then, right, of this whole statement.
Sure.
Because this is the thing, and I'm going to talk about Greta Thunberg now, right?
All right.
Young girl, right?
Who just turned 18.
Oh, congratulations, right? Yada, yada to you. You are very a very misunderstood little kid, right?
Right.
Because the one thing she wouldn't talk out against was pollution. She would never, ever come with the answers to the pollution. And I'm going to say that the whole climate change is an enabler for pollution, right?
Okay.
We're never addressing the problem. We're never addressing the fact in all this that we are producing TVs. And that's just one thing.
No, all they talk about is something they can use to control you with, which is...
Yes.
Yeah, carbon dioxide. And they consider, for whatever reason, makes no sense, is carbon dioxide is a pollutant, and it's not.
Because they're trying to sell you something. They're not trying to change the world. They're trying to sell you something, which is self-loathe, fear, and shame, right?
Well, in order, because they want to charge you, they want to tax everybody for all yeah. all the carbon they produce. Every time you exhale, you're producing carbon dioxide.
And even worse, they want humans to believe that they are a nuisance and a danger to the planet, which we are not, because we are the planet, right? The planet is humans too, and we are the planet, and we are not separate from this planet. So we are the planet, just like everything else. So we're not a danger to ourselves. That's what they want. They want you to talk about all these other big stuff instead of the really the fact is that we decided that we were going to do this about 100 years ago.
Right.
When we started mass producing.
Yeah, yeah. The Industrial Revolution, right.
I was taught that in school. This wasn't hidden from me. I was taught about planned obsolescence in school as a fact of life.
Okay. Well, and again, you are, approximately 20 years younger than I am. And so they didn't teach us that in school. We didn't know about planned obsolescence. And I don't think it was always such a thing because cars used to be built so that they would last forever, pretty much. And they are certainly not any longer. And this stuff like the cell phones now. Cell phones are one of the biggest issues as far as
they are working on the models of smartphones. They are working on the models of 3 years from now. They got the two releasings it laid out
yeah.
for the next 2 years, and
right.
they're working on the third one.
And the thing about stuff like cell phones is the fact that whatever you bought is probably still working great, but they got a new model out, and they want you to buy that new model. And they'll tell you,
yeah.
this, your old model can't do this, that, or this. Yeah, but it does what
and,
it
And they do not build it upgradable, though, right?
No, of course not.
They do not build things in a way where you can take apart my phone and get the pieces, you know, the parts that went into it and upgrade those and put them together in a new way.
No.
So none of this is being reused, right?
Right. Yeah, you just toss
and,
it out.
And
you know.
Technology, it uses heavy metals and all sorts of resources that are scarce on this planet, though.
Right. And that is the thing, you know, one of the things about humans is that we are the most destructive species on the planet. Or maybe the only actual destructive species on the planet. I don't know of any other species that, you know, strip mines or...
I'm going to go with, if we really wanted to change, because and this is the game changer, right, Grimnir? The minute you start, and you are a heavy, you are heavy outspoken about this, with climate activism and climate change, right?
Right, because the way they sell it is total nonsense. That's why.
And we have no proof because it's changes in climate.
It's yeah right.
Climate changes all the time.
They can't even tell you the weather for that afternoon correctly, yeah. and they're going to tell you what's going to happen in 30 years down the road.
But while we're discussing that stupid mess, right? We're not talking about pollution, and we're not doing anything about pollution.
No.
Matter of fact, we are polluting just as much.
Right. And pollution is a local issue, not a global issue.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. So you,
but it becomes a global issue once you start exporting and importing trash, though, right?
Sure.
That's a major import and export on this planet is trash import and export.
Right.
And Denmark is both importer and exporter of trash.
Well, all nations are, right?
Mm? Yeah. But you sell it to the poorest country of the world, and they take it.
Right. In order to get a better life or whatever, however they sell it.
Yeah. Give them money, and they take all our trash, and they're drowning in plastic. It's going to pollute the whole planet, right? The oceans are connected. Everything is connected, right?
Everything
That's where we are.
Yeah.
But yet they are trying to tell you, the climate activist insanos, right? Nuttos, insanos.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to tell you and trying to teach you and trying to sell you that somehow you are a cancerous cell on this planet, which you were born into. You are born from this planet, right? And you're supposed to be this destructive cancerous cell. That's their problem. It's not the way we produce TVs that's the problem. It's somehow humanity. Because where I'm looking at it, it becomes very obvious. No, it's the way we produce TVs. Stop doing that, right?
Right. But then they have to come up with a new way because people want that stuff and they want the people's money, right?
But I'm pretty sure that if Samsung and Apple and all the others come together with all their brilliancies, because that's the beauty about humans, though, I'm pretty sure they're going to innovate a way for us to take apart, upgrade, and put back together somehow. I'm pretty sure they could do that if we wanted to combat pollution, but we don't.
Right. No, they want to do everything... and minimize the costs of the production of whatever it may be.
Reason why it's an enabler for pollution is because not only does it obfuscate, right?
Right.
Because that is what it does, right? Climate change.
Massive deception.
Obfuscate, right?
and massive deception as well.
Yes.
And they're
making people think that this is... such a complex and big problem that has so many chaotic factors. There's no way people could work it out. And come on, we created planned obsolescence. We can pretty much plan our way out of it too, right?
Obsolete the obsolescence.
Yeah, I would say that. but because they are not only just they're not just distracting us away from talking about pollution, I like the word obfuscating. They're making it bigger and more complex so that we won't even touch it.
Right, yeah.
We won't even get closer to it.
You can't see the real causes of whatever it is, and it's obviously it's not global warming.
It's plastic masks in the seas, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Fishermen are hauling up masks, blue itty fucking stupid masks from the seas right now, all over Indonesia and Asia. It's insane.
Even here in my small town, I see those stupid masks in the parking lots all laying around. You know.
Probably because of the seagulls, right?
No, because people, they'll put them on when they go in someplace and they'll throw them out as soon as they walk out on the ground. They just throw them on the ground.
Well, here people put them in the trash bins and then the seagulls trash them out because they're looking for food. And they go, that ain't food. No, that ain't food. No, that ain't food.
Yeah, well, apparently here they don't care. They just throw them on the ground.
Mm.
It's like, okay, if you wore that mask because you think there's actually this fake virus out there, a real virus out there, that you call a real virus out there, and you were using that to breathe through, now is not your virus on that mask and you're throwing it on the ground?
Yeah.
So that, somebody's got to come along eventually and pick that crap up, and then if there was actually a real virus... Then they would be exposed to whatever that nasty shit that was coming out of your face.
But see here, let's just say that the virus is real, it's as deadly, and now it's mutated, it's even worse. And masks are the answer to the problem, right? Let's just assume all that, right?
Okay.
And just for 1 minute being that, and what did we do as a world? We went to the mainstream commercial world. We asked them to start mass producing throwaways, dispensable bad, bad masks that the Danish media, they make tons of those where they take them from the boxes, straightly bought, and then they measure their levels of bacteria and germs and all sorts of stuff in the newly masks from the box, and the levels are way high, right?
Right.
Because they're hastily mass-produced somewhere in India or something, right?
Sure. And they could probably test those brand new masks straight out of the box for the corona nonsense and come up with these masks are all infected.
Yeah. So why didn't we spend? Well, if let's say that this was true, the masks are the cure-all to end all, right? Why didn't we spend our energy and innovation and skills into then producing masks that you wouldn't have to buy a million of, that wasn't completely polluting to the planet, and that actually didn't make you more sick because they're full of germs?
Right.
Why did we go back to the same trash shit commercial that we always do? Mass-produced disposable shit that, you know, was made by the poorest of the world.
Cheap, easy, and convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the choice, and that's why we're still talking about climate activism instead of doing something about pollution.
Well, of course, the climate activism, you know, it's being pushed by the same globalists that want to do all the rest of the nasty stuff to us.
Who doesn't want to stop polluting? That's the sick part. It is literally enabling them to keep on polluting.
Of course, yeah, and in these huge factories, they love to pollute because it's so much cheaper than actually taking care of it at the source.
Yes.
You know.
I didn't see Bill Gates spend his entire fortune and all his clever geniuses. I didn't see him doing on a sustainable computer hardware that wouldn't need to be replaced all the time and didn't use really, really polluting materials.
No, but he's just a liar. He lies about everything.
Yeah. I saw him go the other way. He wanted to do a $1 computer and go completely cheap, which you know can only be mass-produced and cheap and will break fast, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we can go to part three then.
Okay.
You're done with climate. Are you done with climate?
I'll never be done with the whole climate thing because until they give it up, which I don't see them doing. It's part of Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, that they could control us through the guilt of being humans that breathe and do everything we do, you create some amount, well, not everything, but 90% of the things we do create some amount of carbon dioxide, which they deem as a pollutant, which it's not a pollutant. So, and they want to do that in order to control us and steal from us.
But see, here's the thing. I would actually start believing them more if... Okay, this is the... Do you know that when you're talking about green investments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Investing in tech companies automatically make you more green than investing in food production?
What? No, that would be reverse.
No.
Investing in tech companies versus investing in food production? No.
If you look at the big investments and they go, we have green portfolios, right? We do CO2 neutral investments.
Mm-hmm.
They are probably invested a lot in tech companies.
Oh, they are, but that doesn't make it accurate.
Yeah. And if what counts down in their CO2 indexes is investments in food productions, like beef and stock and fish, right?
Right.
But if you invest in Google and data centers and all that, which are major suckers of CO2, right?
Right.
They use so much power, man, and they produce absolutely nothing, right?
Except for disinformation.
Yes. So there you go. For the good of climate, right? And you have all these green investment companies. I don't know about in America, but in Denmark, investing green is very big.
Yeah, oh, no, it definitely is here as well. And, you know, of course, they sell the carbon offsets, carbon credits, whatever.
Yeah.
Which is, if you want to go back to Al Gore, one of the major pushers of this nonsense, he was hoping, and probably did actually, cash in big time on carbon offsets, which apparently if you pay money, the carbon dioxide you produce no longer matters because you paid for it.
Yeah, right. Because then you can buy your CO quota from the poor countries while you sell them your trash, right?
Right.
And they got no way of coming out of their poverty because we're still living in a world where it's actually hardware or the industrial production that would give you the money, right?
That's correct.
So they're never going to push forward from that. They've been selling out all their CO2 quotes, and they're taking all this trash. They're just drowning in pollution.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And none of this all this does is probably just enabling more pollution.
Oh, I think so. I think without a question that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's sleight of hand, right? I'm bringing your focus over to this while over here I'm doing something else that's gonna, you know, trick you into doing what I want or believing.
Because fact that you probably, if you sat down with Greta Thunberg and you smoked a spliff with her and you talked about pollution, you and her, you and her would probably find great agreement.
Probably, as long as she was high enough to not, you know, spew out her nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's just, you know, she was given a language, though, right?
But as soon as she says, "How dare you," I'd smack her upside the head.
No, you wouldn't. Because you like women who are feisty. So you like girls who are feisty, too, Grimmie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to peace talks are enablers for war.
Well, it's kind of connected, though, right?
It is. I mean, like, let's go to Flash's favorite topic, Palestine.
Yeah.
Because they're always doing the peace talks over there, but regardless of what the talks are, Israel continues to take over more and more Palestine and attack the people there, destroy their homes, kill the people that are there. And if anybody says anything positive about Palestine or negative about Israel doing what they do, then suddenly you're an anti-Semite, which is a ridiculous term for if you were actually being against Jewish people, because that pretty much most of the Semites are Arabs. but they made it into a, no, this is an Israel only thing. If you're against Israel, you're anti-Semite. But if you're against,
but what the peace talks did, right, was very cleverly up through the, I don't know, but the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, the peace talks made Israel more and more mainstream, and somehow the occupational state that is Israel became a country.
Yeah.
In all those peace talks, they became a country, and all of a sudden, the most radical solution you can think now is that we go back to 48. And I'm going, but if you go back to 48, you still took Palestine away from Palestinians.
Right. Yeah. I mean, okay. Israel was given land, given a country, but it was already somebody else's.
Yeah.
It was somebody else already, you know, lived there. And now, those people that lived there, instead of being 80% of the, or 90% of the land mass in that area.
Yeah.
Are now like, you know, 4%.
Because they were tribal, right? They were a tribal empire that lost most of their land. So most of the Middle East are just war loot, right? Being divided between the winners.
Right.
But that doesn't make it any less stolen land, though, right?
It does not. It certainly does not.
No. But the peace talks does. The peace talks And the negotiations. Why would you negotiate with somebody who stole your leg? This is like, I had a friend who got his bike stolen, right? A couple of months later, he's out walking in Copenhagen Street. He sees his bike.
Okay.
He goes over to take his bike back. The guy comes out and says, "Hey, that's my bike." And he says, "No, it's not. That's my bike. You stole it from me." I said, "Well, okay, but I put a new lug on it and I changed the gears and I put new tires on, so you owe me some money." So my friend ended up paying to get his own bike back, right?
That's a bold thief there. That's a very bold thief.
Yeah, but it's kind of like the same, right? But no, wait, you stole, but you took it.
Yeah. Right.
Why are we negotiating? Why are you negotiating with the guy who stole your bike, right?
Exactly. But your friend went ahead and did that because...
But the minute you walk into peace talks with war criminals, you are kind of saying that they have a... that they're a force, that there's something that should be reckoned with, right?
Right, that they have as much right to,
yeah,
to whatever as you do, even though they're the ones that caused all the harm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and all land is stolen, Rob. I agree with that. But if there are people who can still, you know, who are still being kicked out of their land and their houses, then I think it's different than, you know, having to dealing with people who was kicked out of their land and had the houses stolen 2,000 years ago or 500 years ago.
Right. Well, you know, you could take, most of the things that government does as an example of the thieves that are selling your own property back to you, whether it be, you used to be able to go out and fish and get yourself a dinner without having any kind of requirements for licenses and permits and tags and all that crap. Now the government stole that right from you, but they will allow you to do it if you pay them a fee or several fees, depending on what it is. So you had the right to do this. They stole that right from you and are selling it.
And the minute you start voting and participating in their negotiations, you're creating an equal partner with rights, right?
Yeah. I mean, because you're saying by your vote, you are saying, I believe in your system and I support your system. And whatever harms you inflict upon me are fine because that's the way the system works. And so
yes, I consent. It's really I consent to your mandate. But no, you didn't have the mandate, man.
Right.
Man, see, I'm speaking Biden now, man.
Man, come on, man.
Yeah. Come on, man.
it's like even your house. You went and you worked hard for many years and built up enough money to go out and buy a house somewhere from someone, and so you buy the house. You paid cash for it. Or you got a mortgage and you paid off the mortgage, and so you're done, right? You own this house. Woohoo! But wait. There's these things called property tax, which means
because
that
you're just leasing the land.
Yeah, you don't own the house because if you don't pay, that money to whatever governmental entity is requiring it from you, stating that you have it, then they will steal your house from you.
Yes, they will.
So, and that's a different kind of war, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're voting and for politicians who then negotiate these gangsters that are taking your shit and making up their own rules,
right?
You're enabling them.
You are enabling them.
You're giving them the power to do it.
Yes, absolutely. You are consenting, like you said before.
Yeah.
All right.
Stop it.
I think that comes right into the next one there. Free usually comes at the highest price.
Yes, especially in the commercial world, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, anytime something's free, like Facebook, for example, you're there. You think, oh, it's good. It's great. It's a free site. I don't give them any money. We stated, I don't know, did we state that on this show? Or somebody stated anyway, that... if something is free, you are probably the product.
Yes.
And yes. So, yes. And yeah, or they'll give you something like, okay, here's this thing you can use, but in order to use it, you need to buy all these other little things to make it work, properly, or to expand its use.
Interesting, you know, the way the human minds work, right, is that if you got a free gift from somebody, right, especially a company, but even a person, if you get a free gift from somebody, right, in your own mind, you know, in the depth of your mind, you now feel like you owe them something. So the next time somebody says something or you hear that name, you're going to pull up that little, I owe them something, and you're going to have to want, you're going to want to try to pay them back.
Right.
So if you walk down the street and some company is out there handing out free candy or free something with their logo on it, right? And you walk by and you say, oh, sure, I'll eat some, you know, sure, I'll get those chocolates. And you walk by and you say, oh, thank you to this and this company, you know, thank you for your chocolates. And you walk on by. Couple of weeks later, you're going to meet somebody who says something about that company, or you're going to be asked something, or especially if you spend a lot of time on social media, you're going to see an advertisement or a test or a survey or something, right? You're inclined to pay off that debt through your goodwill then.
Or just your desire to experience more of what it is that you got for free.
Yeah. But as a general rule, without us knowing it, humans don't like being in unsettled debt.
Right, yeah,
And we do that without thinking unconsciously. When we get something for free, we make a little note in our debt book, and we want to pay it back because we want to, you know, get rid of the debt.
Or it's like the old adage about, you know, heroin dealers. They'll give you the first one for free, the first dose or whatever the hell they call it.
And then you're trapped.
Yeah, and then you're trapped, then you're stuck, and you will do anything you can in order to get that next dose.
And then there are the Benjamin Franklin effect, which is very interesting. I think that's what it's called, because he figured out that if you get somebody who doesn't like you, if somebody doesn't like you or think less high of you or something like that, if you can somehow get them to do you a favor, like lend you a book or lend you their pencil or do a small favor or a small gesture for you, right? They're going to start liking you better. Because most people don't want to think about themselves that they did something nice to a person they don't like.
Right.
So since I did something nice for you, well, maybe you're not that bad though, right? So he said he would get people like when he went into negotiations or when he had important meetings and he knew he was up against a person who didn't really like him or didn't trust him, he would, some days in advance, he would find a way for them to do him a favor.
Okay.
I thought that was very interesting.
So that would be, he was inveigling them.
Yeah. Yeah, he would get them to, you know, lend him a book or, you know, something, a pen, something, a small gesture, and that would open that piece in your mind.
Right.
But all these things, the commercial world knows this, right? They use it.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And they especially know that when free comes, we want to pay. We don't like free. We want to pay.
I like free. I don't want to pay.
I don't want to pay.
Yeah.
Do you take free stuff, though?
Well, I mean, I'm sure I do, and I can't think of anything offhand, but, we talked about Twitter earlier. I don't pay cash to use Twitter, but they're taking my information and things that I do on there and using that as a, first off, you're signed up there, so you're a member, so they can use that to add to, you know, to their whatever it is, when they're trying to buy advertising or sell advertising to people, they're saying, oh, look, we have X many members that are active or whatever. So, Yes, I take stuff for free, but they're using me in that way. I can't think of too many, you know, so I'm not like walking out there and getting a free car or anything.
At least you don't show up on Oprah.
Which why not? Where's my free car?
I thought everybody in America got free cars.
Oh yeah, only on Oprah.
What are they, like $50 over there or something?
Yeah, sure.
Danish cars are 300% taxed.
But well, that's the whole different thing. If you are given a free car and they say the value of this car is $30,000, well, you got to suddenly pay tax on $30,000.
Would be 300% in Denmark. It would ruin a guy by giving them a car.
I don't know what the you know. And there's different taxes. It's considered income. Somebody gave you something. Here's $30,000 of income. Then you also got to pay the vehicle tax when you go down to register the car. And you have to register the car or else they'll throw you in jail when you drive it.
I think it's the register tax here that are like 300% of the car's value.
Which is nuts, which is why nobody has cars there, right?
People have cars. They're just very, they take good care of their cars.
Cars are only for the wealthy.
I don't know. This street, most people have small cars.
Okay.
Small Japanese cars, right?
Yeah. Well, you got to repay. Yeah, I mean, you got to pay the tax every time your registration comes due here.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. Okay. You don't have to do.
So
that.
It may not be 300% all at once, but eventually it gets there.
Yeah. Well, here the more polluting the car is, the more in taxes you pay.
Oh, see, that's that crazy climate
green
activism
taxes.
Is an enabler.
You got green taxes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so paying, once you've paid for that pollution, the pollution...
Does it feel any better?
The pollution's all good. It don't matter anymore. All right. Now
will it no longer kill the kids that play in the streets?
No.
Ah, but it
well,
will.
It never killed them in the first place, but that's a different story. Yeah.
No, it does, though. I lived in those streets, man.
Well, yeah, but...
I had an apartment in the middle of Copenhagen. I would clean the windows. Half an hour later, they'd be completely dark again.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, speaking of cleaning windows, we only have a couple minutes left, but our last topic is justice is a smoke screen for control. So that smoke screen that was showing up on your windows...
Ooh, yes.
Anyway, yes, it is, because there is no actual justice if you go through the justice system.
No, there is only control, controlling reactions and actions.
Right, because they won't even let you, take an actual case to the justice system, the court system, unless they agree to allow you to do so. Which they're not going to if your questions or whatever you're trying to get accomplished goes against their thoughts and beliefs or interests.
Besides, they're kidnapping people and putting them in small cells in big houses, locking them away.
Right, for doing nothing.
It doesn't matter what you did
or didn't do.
What? That's disgusting.
It is. It's hugely disgusting.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
And, so
prisons are nasty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let people... And I know this... I'm not even sure I want to live in a world like that, but then I would just go to a small island, I guess. But let people face the ones they wronged, man.
Absolutely.
Let them sort it out. If they want to put somebody behind bars and they're going to build their own prison and put somebody behind bar and go feed them every day and look at that mess, let them do it. Don't fucking hire people to do that shit. That's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Yeah.
And it got much worse once they started making the prisons a for-profit enterprise.
Yeah, I don't live under that shit.
Yeah, well, they have that here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're out of time. I wish we could go on, but we can't.
On such a cheerful note.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks to all those that tuned in live, and thanks to all those listening on the podcast later on. And
to this uplifting hour of optimism.
Oh, yes. We'll be back again next week with episode 25. Same bat time, same bat channel. See, they sold me that. It's in my brain now since I was
same
a little...
Same bat shit host.
Since I was a little kid watching Batman on the television.
Yeah, I remember that.
Same bat time. Anyway. Oh, boy. Anyway, so have a great rest of your week, everybody. Good rest of your day here. Depending on where you're at. Maybe you're going to bed now. I don't know.
I don't know. It's 9 o'clock.
Well, you Denmarkians and your different time schedule.
We're on the right time schedule.
Oh, of course. Weirdos. Of course.
Damn equator dwellers. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. And me and Moose will be back on our normal schedule on Friday this week rather than Thursday, which was really confusing.
Yes, it was.
So, that's it. Talk to y'all later. Peace.